Welcome.
Welcome.
To episode number 399 of Doctor Time's Face, a weekly Doctor Who podcast. I'm me, Lewis Mead.
And me, the cool.
Yes. Sorry, I was just laughing a minute because our friend here, the cool, is in a very mischievous mood, it seems.
Yeah.
So, hello everyone. Hope you're okay. It's episode number 399 today.
Yeah.
And it is the third to last, probably,
show we're going to be doing,
mm-hmm. And at least for the time being, and it's the last show of 2020.
It is, and I wonder if anything weird's going to happen. Who knows?
Who knows? Probably something weird will happen. It usually does with us. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're here again today for another edition of the podcast. What are we reviewing this week?
Well, this week we are going for that midway period of Whodom, when it wasn't Classic Who, it wasn't You Who, it was the movie Who.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to be reviewing the singular proper Paul McGann story, Doctor Who, the movie.
Cool. Also, we will be taking a look back at the 11th Doctor's era in our overview of Matt Smith's Doctor Who series, and that should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. Should be indeed.
Yeah.
So, before we crack on with our regular items, we usually have a little bit of a think about any news that we've had over the over the week. We are only a few days away from the moment we're all waiting for.
Yeah.
And that is the regeneration of Jodie.
We're not my doctor, people, if you've just tuned in.
Yeah.
Yes,
and I don't think it will happen. I will obviously have the last laugh if through some miracle it did happen. But
yeah, but she's been spotted on filming and in COVID times, so they're not gonna put another person in there that I don't have to.
Yeah.
So Revolution of the Daleks coming up in a couple of days' time. Next week's show we will be reviewing it, which will be nice. It's always nice to have a new episode to review.
Yep.
So, I thought it'd be quite interesting, first of all, to share some predictions and expectations for it.
Okay. I predict it's going to be crap.
Because you've not got any big news as such. I don't think we're going to get any big news before the episode airs, because we already know a lot, and we got it all released in, a condensed space of time. So, and I think it's too soon to the episode for us to get any other trailers or clips or anything, so I don't think that'll be the case. So why do you think it will be terrible? And then next week we'll see if you were right.
Okay, alright, so three reasons why I think it's going to be crap. Okay, these are my three predictions.
Okay.
Okay, so firstly, I do think we will get the Thasmin kiss.
No, we won't. I don't think we will.
I think we will.
No, I don't. I don't think we will.
Okay, all right. Well, there we go. I think we will.
I don't think we will.
So that's reason one. Reason two, and this isn't a prediction, we know this is the case, it's got that stupid Donald Trump parody in it. And I reckon, okay, here's my prediction, there will be at least one joke about him drinking bleach.
Yeah, No, there won't be.
Or injecting bleach into his body.
There probably won't be, because they recorded it and they wrote the script last year, didn't they?
Mm.
So it won't happen.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
They'll mock him. They'll talk about him nuking hurricanes or something, but...
Yeah, there'll be some sort of, there'll be something that Trump has said or done that will be mocked with it.
Obviously, yeah.
Okay, and there will be something of the equivalent annoyingness of Ryan doing the Call of Duty piece. There'll be something based on modern culture, whether it's gaming or music, involving Ryan and as part of the resolution.
There'll be, I agree.
Okay, so there's my three predictions.
And there'll be something really cringy going on, a bit like the conversation scene in Resolution, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon my prediction is it's going to be very similar to the quality of Resolution, which is, it's got some good ideas, some good moments, particularly when it comes to the Dalek stuff, but then the episode itself is a complete mess and has some really cringy, embarrassing stuff going on.
Oh, if it came out as good as the last Dalek one, I would probably be quite happy. Because I thought actually that worked quite well.
I wouldn't be happy.
Mm. I remember you were really angry after that.
I was really angry, yeah. Because they ruined it. They ruined it. Anyway. And that was my last... That was sort of like the last shot of me, of my era. I had a little bit of faith thinking, they're bringing the Daleks back, there may be a bit of potential, this could be really good. And then they did all these really annoying Chibnallisms.
So I would like, if you can think of them, three predictions from you.
I think that we are going to get... I do not think we will get a death, for a starter.
Yeah.
But I do... I reckon we're going to have Ryan riding his bike at the end. I reckon that's...
And they suddenly remember that disability he's got.
Ryan will learn how to ride his bike with the strength of everything he's been through. I reckon that will happen. Or Graham will die and he will be encouraged to ride his bike or whatever. Secondly, I think Jack's return will set up for Torchwood or UNIT coming back, not necessarily off, but as in the universe, and it will be set up for the future, because I think Jack's return will definitely set up something to come. And lastly, the Doctor will get out of the prison in like the first few minutes.
Do you think the Doctor will be rescued by Jack?
Jack, maybe with the help of one of the fans.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, but we'll find out. It will definitely be Jack. Jack will definitely come along.
Yeah.
I wanted you to elaborate. I know we discussed this a bit last week, but it's always a tricky topic. Why do you think the Thasmin kiss will happen in this episode, if it does happen?
Just because it's a Christmas is a time for emotion and kissing and hugging and things like that. And sort of New Year kiss.
Yeah.
But that New Year kiss that they just enjoy a bit more than you would normally for a New Year kiss. And then the Doctor does that really sort of embarrassed, oh, where did that come from? Oh, sort of thing.
I think the relationship between Yaz and the Doctor... will happen in series 13, and if you want to hear our thoughts on that, tune into last week's, because we went on about our criticisms of Ten and Rose together and how terrible we thought that was. But I think it will happen in series 13, but I do not think it will happen this time.
Yeah.
Mandy Gill actually did tease that there would be some sort of surprise ending for the episode. Do you have any thoughts on what that would be?
Regeneration of the Doctor. I tell you what, if that happens, I'm going to get the biggest laugh of all time.
Because I've been predicting that for years. It ain't going to happen.
So, okay, let me rephrase this then another way around. What would you like to see happen? If you could have three things that you want to happen in this Christmas episode.
Is it too big one to say it would? I hope it's good.
It is a bit deep.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that.
They've got some realistic things here.
First of all, and I think this might happen, I want the Daleks to be... there to be something original happening with the Daleks. And I want them to be threatening as well. I want them to have this really threatening edge to them. Because... the Daleks just haven't been that threatening of late, have they?
No.
And we just want that threat back. I think with Chibnall's done some good returning monster stuff, so I think he could do the Daleks well. So I'm going to say that is a realistic hope, that the Dalek content itself will be good. I want Ryan to die. I do. And that is because I hate his character, and I know that if he survives, it means that he is going to appear in it in future. And I don't mind Graham returning. You know, I'm fine that now that we know that Yaz is going to be the only companion next series, because we know that Ryan isn't going to be continuing. But I do hate Ryan. I think he just irritates me as a character, and he's by far the worst companion of Doctor Who history for me. So I feel like I feel like it's not going to happen. I think if anyone's going to die, it will probably be Graham. But I hope he dies.
I don't think any of them will die.
I don't think he will, no. I don't think either of them will, but no. If any of them die, it won't be Ryan, I'm sure. Thirdly, I don't want the Trump guy to be in it too much. I know this isn't going to be, because he's been announced in advance, he's going to be in it a lot. But I don't want him to dominate the story too much. I don't want him to be in it too much. And I also want them to tone him down a bit and explore other areas of the character rather than the Trump parody part. Because yeah. I don't know whether there is any more of a character there, but I hope they move away from the Trump parody and do some sort of corrupt person thing. Yeah. And you know.
But let's face it, if they hadn't have had that Trump parody and he'd just been playing some sort of like rich businessman with aspirations of power, then the character wouldn't have been as bad.
He still would have been quite bad if they played him the way he was, but yeah.
It was the embarrassment of the Trump thing, which...
I think he could be... He probably could be a decent character if you did him the right way. And they didn't in the Arachnids in the UK. I don't think they will in Revolution of the Daleks.
Right, okay.
But I really want them to do other things. What would you like? What are your three hopes?
Firstly, that it was a hoax that the Trump character was coming into it, and Captain Jack. The Doctor to regenerate, and the Daleks not to be able to be flying.
None of those are going to happen. If Jack's not in it, everyone's going to be very annoyed.
Yeah, no, okay, let me go for something a bit more sensible. But I would like to be able to get rid of all of those things. What would I like? I think I would like... although I don't like this TARDIS team, I think a nice resolution of their story would be good.
Yeah.
Sort of like a nice sentimental ending.
I don't think I'll care, a bit like when Adric died, but yeah, I hope so.
I just don't want it to be swamped. I'd like it to actually feel like it's going at a good pace and not be just swamped with so many characters.
I don't think it's possible for it to be anything but swamped with the amount of stuff that's meant to be going on in it. I mean, it's going to be 70 minutes, I think, which is quite a long run time, but it just feels like there's still too much going on for a one-part story. And knowing Chibnall, there's going to be a few things in there that are surprises, a few sort of things we don't know yet.
Yeah. And I think I would like them to actually reference the Timeless Child bit at some point and give a little bit more something that leads into it, because I don't know what, but I don't want them just to have forgotten about it, because that's such a big, huge revelation. You don't want it to be the same as after the Jadoon one, where she just completely forgot about the other Doctor.
Yeah, I know, I hated that.
What's the chances of the Ruth Doctor being in this episode?
Low.
You reckon?
Very low, yeah. I don't think she will be. I don't want them to, because there seems like enough going on as it is.
Yeah.
I hope we see her again, because otherwise it's pointless ever including her. But they have said that the Timeless Child will not play a huge part in the story. And they say that she's going to be dealing with it in an emotional way, but it will not be brought up heavily in the narrative.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think it'd be nice to actually at least not just forget that it happened.
I think they will. I think she'll be sad, but I think they'll play that out in the story. Maybe that she's hiding it, or maybe that she's been in the prison. Yeah. I don't think they'll reference the Times Child too heavily in it.
Why did she go to prison again? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. It was whatever the fugitive doctor did, but now I've forgotten what the fugitive doctor did.
Didn't she kill the woman from the Umbrella Academy?
She did, but that was after the Jadeen started hunting her down.
Yeah.
So I can't remember what she actually did now.
Yeah.
Something to do with that. It was something to do with the Jadeen.
And I hope that they make the whole prison thing having felt a bit worthwhile.
I hope so. It sounds like it could be an interesting storyline, actually. The Doctor being in a prison and sort of tested and tortured and stuff in its own right, but they're only going to do it for about 5 minutes at most, I think.
I would like it if they did something very similar to what they did with Tennant's first ever episode, the Christmas Invasion, where effectively, for about at least a third of the story, the Doctor's incapacitated, isn't it?
I reckon that'll be the case.
You think so?
Yeah, I reckon first half of the story she'll be in it. I reckon she might be in the first scene of the episode.
Okay.
I reckon pre-title sequence, it'll be the Doctor's adventures in prison, and the next half hour is the Daleks come along, the companions, and then about half an hour into it, Jack goes off, finds the Doctor, then she comes back, saves the day.
So, which Jodie are we going to get? The highly irritating one or the good Doctor?
I'd like to think that after she's been through the Timeless Child, after she's lost her companions and been encountered the Cybermen, found out her past had been a lie, and then arrested for something she can't remember doing, and caught for apparently years and years, maybe decades, in a prison, you'd think that the darker side of the Doctor would be brought out. But knowing this era, it'll be where you get her dark moments on her own, and then she'll be all, like, floppy and...
Yeah.
You know, she'll definitely be all enthusiastic when she meets Jack, won't she? Yeah. Let's face it.
Yeah.
They're going to have a hug, let's face it.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10...
I have got one other question.
Okay, you go for that. Go for it first.
Okay, I was going to bring out the viewing figures.
Yeah.
Is that too detached from what you were going to...
Because I asked that last week, didn't I? What did you think the viewing figures
No, were? But I thought I'd bring up the Christmas Day viewing figures.
Oh, yeah.
On BBC One. And they were low.
Were they?
Quite low. I should find them, actually.
Well, again, there wasn't really very much on, was there?
There wasn't. It was a dreadful schedule, to be honest. And it is again on New Year's Day, let's face it. Queen's Speech...
That was the most popular programme.
Queen's Speech was the most popular programme.
It's amazing, really, because they show that every year.
I'm just trying to find it now. I wish I didn't...
Mr. Voz used to go on every year.
So Call the Midwife got 5.4 million viewers. Okay. And that was the top programme apart from the Queen. And then Blankety Blank got 5.3 million. Strictly got 4.9 million. The Wheel got 4.7 million. The Soaps ranged from 4.5 million to 3.5 million. Mrs. Brown's Boys got 3.8 million. And The Chase got 3 million.
So, where in that do you think who will come? I'm going to go 2.7 million.
I don't think it will be that low. No. I don't think it will drop below 3 million.
Okay.
Given that Series 12 didn't drop below 3 million, I doubt that New Year's special will. So, I'm going to say 3.7 million.
All right.
Yeah, 3.7 billion, I reckon.
Okay, I'm going to go 2.9 then. Okay, how about that?
nothing in Series 12 got that low, so I highly doubt that. Okay. The New Year special.
2.9, I'm sticking with it.
Why would you? What happens? What happens whoever gets closest to it? Do we get some sort of prize or something?
Probably not. Yeah. just kudos. You're going to need something anyway for that moment when the regeneration happens and I'm proven right. Nothing, no prediction, even if you've got it, the answer right to the nearest five people, it still wouldn't be as much of a great revelation.
I know, it's going to be annoying. And I don't think it won't happen, but I remember how braggy you were earlier in the year saying, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, actually.
Yes.
Even though I have had an immense ability to predict things.
If Jodie leaves, it doesn't mean Chibnall leaves, which means that the next series is still going to be terrible, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, no. It might not be. Chibnall's learning, isn't he?
You never know. Yeah.
I'm hoping he improves on himself each series.
Yeah.
And improves on some of his flaws each year, and then gets where he needs to be by the end of it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I can't remember now. Did Chibnall write the good series of Torchwood?
He wrote Series 2 and Series 1. No, he didn't write Chibnall of Earth.
Okay.
No, that was Russell T. Davies.
Okay, yeah.
Would you be surprised if they, like, announced Torchwood was coming back or something?
Ordinarily, I would say no. I wouldn't be surprised. I think the problem is, at the moment, I don't think who can really justify a spin-off.
Okay.
I don't think there's sufficient interest in it.
I think it would be lovely to have to have another show, another spin-off to keep us entertained in the gaps between series, which are increasingly long. But I think the viewing figures for Doctor Who are so low, the merchandising sales are quite low, that I think bringing Torchwood back now probably isn't the right time to do so.
No.
I think we probably left it a bit too late as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it. I would like to see them give it another chance.
After watching that fourth series of Torchwood, I don't think I could actually cope with another one.
Yeah, as long as they didn't do it Americanized, I think there's potential for them to do a good fifth series, but Torchwood is probably the most inconsistent thing ever made. So it would be incredibly difficult to find out how good it would be.
Yeah.
What was your question? You had a final question for us.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10... what is the chance of this being good?
I think it's going to be average and a mess. I'm going to say it's got potential to be good, though. I genuinely think if any story from the Chibnall era had a potential to be good, this may be the one that had the most potential to be good. It also has the most potential to be a disappointment.
So is your gut feel then that you're going to finish the episode with a warmth in your heart or a bit of sick in the back of your mouth?
I think they're going to do that typical a thing that happened a lot in Series 12, where the episode itself is an absolute mess. I'm taking Spyfall Part 2 here. The episode itself is not bad, but a mess. And then they do something huge at the end that makes everyone really excited.
I don't remember Spyfall 2 being a mess.
It is quite a mess.
Is it?
It sort of ruins what Part 1 did, I think. Because it goes into that historical stuff and it goes all weird.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I forgot about
that. Yeah. And then the Kasavin stuff goes weird as well.
Yeah.
Plane thieves. I think it could be like that resolution, you know, where they do really messy stuff throughout the episode and then at the end they do something really big like the Gallifrey reveal.
Yeah.
And everyone loves it. So I think that will happen. I think it will be one of those episodes where it's got a lot wrong with it and a and some good things about it too. I think it'll be very mixed, and I think next week's review will be a very interesting one. I've already got my stacks prepared, because there were some sweets that I always had during series 12, and I realised that whenever I was very angry during those episodes, those sweets would distill my anger.
So you got me pack ready.
Yeah, I'd recommend getting these toffee crumble things. They're very nice. They're perfection. Let's just do some product placement. Anyway, don't listen to that. Don't listen to the product placement. Right, let's go.
Should we crack on with our main event?
Let's go into our review then. We are going to be sharing our thoughts on the TV movie. Right, yes, so the TV movie, it's our penultimate review. We've been basically, over the past 6 years on this podcast, we've been working our way through every single Doctor Who episode in a random order. And today, ironically, in a New Year's episode set at New Year, we near the New Year with our New Year's review.
That's the clumsiest intro ever.
I had something clever planned in my mind, but I've eaten too much food over the past few days and it's clogged up my brain. So, yes, let's review this TV movie thing then.
Okay, shall I start with the synopsis?
Yeah, do the synopsis.
So, the Master's been trialled by the Daleks and is executed. The Doctor, in his seventh incarnation, that of Sylvester McCoy, has been tasked with transporting the Master's remains back to Gallifrey. But on the way back through, something happens and the remains break open. This oozy substance creeps out of it, infecting the TARDIS and sending it plummeting towards San Francisco's Chinatown back on the 30th December 1999. So just coming up towards the end of the, just about to go into the millennium, effectively. So, McCoy's Doctor leaves the TARDIS, and in doing so he's shot down by this gang of Chinese Americans that have been chasing Chang Li, who's a character that we see throughout this particular episode. He's rushed to hospital. The Doctor, a Dr. Grace Holloway, attempts surgery on him to try and stabilise what's an unusual heartbeat, but gets really confused by the double heart thing that's going on, and accidentally wedges this cardiac probe into the Doctor's body, which seems to kill him. As a result of the fact that his body sort of, I forgot what the word is now. What do you call it when you put somebody out to sleep? Anyway, they put him out to sleep. And as a result of that, it stops the regeneration process from happening. But then gradually it does, and he morphs into the new Doctor, Paul McGann. In the meantime, he's going through the usual sort of post regeneration sickness that he does. He's sat there in the hospital's waiting room. He's already managed to scare the crap out of the guy in the morgue as when he comes back alive, and anyway, as it turns out, and I think I've probably talked pretty much enough already, but the Master's on his last life and is about to die effectively unless he can steal the Doctor's body, and the story's really about him trying to get hold of the Doctor so that he can perform this operation with a sort of like a spiky crown and the Eye of Harmony to actually keep himself alive. And this is all due to happen as the clock ticks over into the new millennium.
Yeah.
So there we are. That's my synopsis.
Cool.
So what do you make of this one?
Right. I don't like it. I'll put that out there first of all. It's a very below average movie in its own right, and it's a terrible piece of Doctor Who. I think it's not irredeemable. It's not terrible in all ways, but I'm not a fan of it. It just feels too removed from everything I know about Doctor Who. And I know Doctor Who's always a show about change. It always feels different, but there's always a certain thing that a certain tone that remains through it, and there's just nothing here like that, and it just aggravates me in so many ways. So I'm not a fan. What do you think?
There's bits of it that are okay. The fact that they didn't really go for a particularly inspiring villain. I would have thought they would have gone for some sort of cool monster in order to suck the kids in.
Yeah, you'd think Daleks. Yeah. You'd think they would have chosen Daleks.
Yeah, definitely. But regardless, whilst the Master's a really important villain in Who history, he seems a bit underwhelming as to bring in to try and... I could see if they'd have had the Master and the Daleks, or the Master and the Sidemen, or something like that, it would have worked. But it seemed a little bit of an odd one. I was just looking, though, it fared quite well when it was broadcast in the UK. It actually had 9 million viewers watching it, and a 75% audience appreciation rating.
So that's average.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, like, I'm sure Saranga Conundrum got, like, 82 or something.
Did it?
Christ, I'm sure it did. I'm pretty sure it did.
Mm, okay. Yeah. So, so I think there's bits I like about this, but not very much. There's something about the whole tone of it which just feels... It doesn't feel very Doctor Who-y.
Exactly.
I just said that.
But there's stuff to like about it. But I tell you what, let's talk about the things we don't like and the things that we do like in a section of the show entitled...
Too Good, Too Bad!
Too Good, Too Bad, when we contemplate two good things on any given subject, in this instance, Doctor Who, the TV movie.
And two bad things on any given subject, in this instance, Doctor Who, the TV movie.
Because some things are too good.
And some things are too bad.
So, we've only got a handful of these.
I know, I'll miss it, I'll tell you what.
We will miss this. It's been a journey.
It has.
Okay, so, Too Good, Too Bad. It's the point where we both think of a good thing about what we've been watching. We both think of a bad thing, making Too Good, Too Bad. You always go first, and we always start with the goods.
Yeah.
So if there was something that you were going to suggest to people that you liked about this, what would it be?
There's only one thing that... It's really difficult, actually. That there's only one thing that I know in my mind that I can go for.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily just for this movie, but just as a general point. But Paul McGann. I've got to go for Paul McGann.
Yeah.
I think he's good here. I think he's good here. I think he's likeable. I think he proves that he would have made a great Doctor given some development. And we know from Big Finish that he's amazing.
Yeah.
And from Night of the Doctor that he would have been great. And... it's a shame that he's wasted on such a thing as this.
Yeah.
But he is good, he's cool, he's very Doctorish, and he's pretty much the only thing I like about it. I must be honest. The pretty big major thing that I like about it.
Yeah, I mean, he is good, he's very likeable. For me, I'm going to go for the TARDIS interior.
Okay.
Which I think has got this real decadent look about it, and actually particularly in the early stages when McCoy's doctor sat there, and it just really suits the McCoy era doctor, actually.
Yeah,
there's something about it. So I'm gonna go for that. It's quite a different style, and still my favorite TARDIS is the very basic one that they had at the beginning and in the Tom Baker era, but
yeah,
I do like this one. I think it works really well.
Yeah.
So that's,
I do agree.
That's my good. So moving on to the bad, and it's definitely easier to come up with bads than it is for goods. What are you going to go for here?
You brought it up briefly, actually, and I need to bring it up. And it's Eric Roberts as the Master.
Mm-hmm.
I just... I despise his incarnation of the Master. He's so undoctorish, unmasterish, sorry. And you brought this up when we were watching the episode, and I'd never really properly realised it before, but he is meant to be like the Terminator, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you did bring that up.
Yeah, but without anything particularly interesting happening, does in the Terminator.
Yeah. And he's just, he's very cringy, very unmasterlike, irritating, dull, uncharacterised. You know, he's just, he's an appalling Master, I think. And not, I don't know whether that's because of Eric Roberts, I think it's just the characterisation of the Master.
I think, actually, I completely agree with you, particularly as part of it was my thought anyway, for the first part of that comment. But I actually think in the last sequence, when he's dressed more in a sort of Time Lord gear, he's quite plausible as the Master.
You keep using the word plausible.
That's my word of the day, yeah.
The word of the day.
I think he's quite plausible as the Master. But it takes him getting to that sort of scene. Certainly that I hate all the bit with him looking all Terminator-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so I can go with that. For me, I've got to go for it, and that is, particularly after the hassle you gave me last week over the whole Thasmin thing, this is probably 10 times worse than any Thasmin kiss that would actually potentially happen.
Probably.
Because this is the first time we saw that sort of interaction between the Doctor and anyone. And
the first interaction between the Doctor and anyone.
That type of interaction, is it?
Okay.
And it's the kiss scene. You know, it was one of these funny moments, because I turned around to you after the kiss and I said, oh, that's not too bad. And then they went on for pretty much the full tongues.
Yeah. and she said, kiss me again or something.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh. At that sort of stage, it just became really horribly
And American. Then they kissed again later.
Right at the end, there's a big kissy
with
scene.
With the fireworks in the background.
Yeah, and it's just horrible, isn't it?
It's horrible.
It's just undoctored. It just feels really out of character. And that's obviously the first time where we see that. And then it became really a thing of the next two, well, no, actually probably not so much Eccleston's Doctor, but certainly Tennant and Smith, we saw this same sort of thing quite frequent.
Yeah.
So that's that. Other things that we like or don't like. What do you mean? Let's fire a few at you. Grace as a companion.
I'm never really able to form a proper opinion on Grace. I don't dislike her, nor do I like her. She just sort of fits in the middle ground to me.
Yeah, I think she had potential. Far more potential than the American Chinesey guy.
Oh, Chang Li is
just like a really
awful
character.
I'm not a fan of Chang Li. He's irritating.
Yeah. I do like that. I know you sort of said it's really not Doctor Who-y, and you're right, but the opening sequence with the gang sort of like shooting and stuff, I quite like that. It's just a little bit of a different sort of thing.
I don't like that.
It's
very irritating.
I thought,
as am I, but
other things that I liked about it, I think it was nice to get a proper bit of resolution to McCoy's Doctor.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
I'm glad they brought him back. It's quite nice, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it did. It was good to give him some closure, really. I know you didn't like it, but I like the green eyes in the Doctor.
In the Master, you keep getting them confused.
I know. It's because they've both got the as their first name.
Can they change their
name? they didn't have the as a first name. You're right.
Yeah.
So I liked the green eyes thing. I'm sure there was one other. I actually like, aside from the stupid soppy kiss bit at the end, I do quite like the end of the episode. I think it looks really pretty, with the TARDIS and it's got a nice New Year's-y sort of feel, which is quite apt, really, as we're
approaching. What is a New Year's-y sort of film?
Oh, it's just got, like, lights aren't quite Christmassy.
We're looking at some Christmas lights now. I hope you all had a decent Christmas if you celebrated it.
Yeah.
Or a happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah. Hope you all had some good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, back on topic.
Yeah. I like to draw us away sometimes.
So, what else do you think's really bad about this? Music, yeah. I thought was alright. I thought the music was, it's a little bit filmy at times, but it reminded me of the guy that does the New Who music.
Murray Gold, yeah. I hate the Americanized action sequences and the Americanized humour. I hate using the term Americanized. It's really hard to define this, and we had this problem during Miracle Days reviews. It's just.
And I'm sure, as soon as you accused me last week of saying inappropriate stuff, I'm sure calling something Americanized is probably borderline racist.
No, it's not xenophobic. Okay, it's not xenophobic. Hear me out. American television is. And American television is probably usually miles superior to our own, and American movies are a long, long way superior to our own. But at their worst, and at British movie and TV worst, it's terrible too, but at their worst, there's some certain conventions about American media. And there's a lot of those conventions here.
I do get what you're saying.
I just wanted to clarify.
I actually had this discussion with an American person the other day.
Instantly. Really?
Just about, I was sort of, I we were actually talking about now, but I got on to the point of why is it that the Americans have made some of the best films, some of the best TV series, and some of the funniest films of all time, but their sitcoms are absolute crap. And they agreed.
Yeah, I do. I think there's some good sitcoms. I think there's some good American sitcoms.
Well, I would go into it in more detail as to why I don't agree with that, but this isn't a podcast about sitcoms.
Go ahead.
I think they came up with Cheers, and that's about it.
Yeah, Friends, The Office.
Don't like either.
It's always so.
I've never seen The Office, to be fair, but... The Office is basically stolen off of Us. And Friends, I think, is really overrated, personally.
I disagree.
Friends, to me, has just got a lot of those things that I hate about American sitcoms happening. You know?
Somebody walks
the door and everyone cheers.
Oh, no, I hate that. I certainly do. But that happens in British television shows as well, the ones with laughter chat.
Yeah, I guess it sometimes does, isn't it?
I just hate laughter tracks.
Yeah. When the guy comes into the room and says, "Is my bag done up?" and everybody laughs.
That's my catchphrase, by the way. I do genuinely think there are some great American comedies and great American sitcoms. You've just not necessarily watched them all. And I don't think you've watched the good episodes of Friends either.
Yeah.
I get what you mean, but I disagree. And I think American television is just genuinely better than ours usually. And there's just some form of conventionalities that when we state Americanization. And it's definitely the case here. And the Miracle Day, where people often describe it as overly Americanized.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because the programs they come from are originally British and have been changed in a way that we are not pleased with.
Oh, it's interesting. It's a little bit of an aside, but it fits with the debate that we're having, so I think it's fair to put it in there. But we're looking for new series to watch, weren't we, at one point, when we watched The Wire, which is very, very highly rated. But I found that too Americanized.
Okay.
It, by very nature of what we deem to be Americanized. I mean, there's no doubt it's obviously meant to be really good, but there was just something about it that just... like, it felt like that sort of typical American programme to me.
Okay.
But anyways, having probably insulted all of our American listeners.
And yeah, no, I want to clarify. Pretty much everything I watch nowadays is made by made in America. So I prefer it to British programming, and most of my favourite comedy shows are from America. So I disagree with Cool there.
Yeah. So, anything else to talk about the movie?
Would you
have liked to have seen this extended and actually become more of a series?
No, I don't. And I'm glad it didn't happen, because there's just a really cheesy, aggravating tone here. And I just don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm just glad we got what we've got with Russell T Davies' era.
Would you have liked McCann to have come in as the first Doctor in New Who?
First of all, interesting pronunciation there.
What's that?
McCann. I'd like to see him again in some way, but at the same time, I really like Eccleston and Tennant and Smith and Capaldi, and I'm glad we got them.
Is if they did a multi-Doctor story and they only had one of the Doctors returning, if it was McCann.
I know, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be lovely.
So, I don't think we've done enough on this, and we've probably talked for too long already, so shall we move on to...
No.
No?
No, we shouldn't.
Oh, because there's a question that we've not asked each other, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's not a question, is it? Is there a question?
Well, I guess it's a request for a statement, really.
Okay.
And that is... Doctor Who, the TV movie, hit or miss?
Oh, we do we do a theme tune?
No,
we, no, we don't have a theme tune. I don't know why we thought we had a theme tune.
I didn't think we did. You did.
I thought we had a theme tune. Don't we have a theme tune?
No, it was on for about 5 seconds. This is probably longer than normal, because we've been talking about the concept of theme tunes.
I think we should have a theme tune.
There's no point, we've got 2 more episodes left.
You should make one for the final episode.
Hit or miss!
Okay. First of all, it's just going around my head thinking people think we might be xenophobic now.
No, I don't think people, well, some people probably do, but just because of the way that they think. But I think we've given good solid arguments.
Yes. Anyway, yeah. So
I think because I accused you of it. You're quite happy to accuse me of it most weeks.
Yeah, but you usually are.
No, I'm not at all. I'm not at all.
I've made some controversial remarks on here, but none of them as bad as you've said. That sounds really bad. We need to get out of this discussion. This
well,
is really
I gave
awkward.
You the way out. You brought yourself back into
this
it.
It's really
so,
awkward.
Hit or miss?
Oh God, I'm in a really awkward, cringy mood now. Can you see your answer?
Oh, yeah, it's a miss, it's crap.
It's a miss. I feel really cringed out now.
Well, time for you to de-cringe as we move on to our review of the Caucasian Matt Smith era.
Yes, the Matt Smith era. The Caucasian Matt Smith era.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's pale, he's white, and half his episodes are shy.
This is really weird, this podcast.
So,
they all are quite weird. Can you do everything
so,
from now on?
So what we've been doing, as we've come to the end of different Doctors' tenures, we've done a bit of a run through the stories and picked out, using the too good, too bad stylee, our favourite and least favourite episodes, and then just given a bit of a hit or miss on all the others. So Matt Smith was the first Doctor of the Stephen Moffat era.
Yep.
The third Doctor in New Who. And I guess what we want to know really is what did you make of Matt Smith's era overall?
It's a very mixed one, I think. Out of the four eras of RTD and Moffat, it is my least favourite, because it's got such an inconsistency about it. And there's a handful of great episodes. There's Series 5, I think, is thoroughly enjoyable. I think it's very, very entertaining, quite consistent, and with a good companion-doctor relationship, it's very enjoyable, very accessible, very nice. Everything Doctor Who needs to be, really. Series 6 is very messy. It's got some classics in there. It's also got some awful stuff. And it screws up a lot. And then Series 7 is another mixed bag of stories. Some good stuff, some bad stuff. But, you know, it feels like it knows what it's doing a bit more. Yeah. What do you think of it?
I think when it works well, it works very, very well. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't say it's worse than the Tennant or Eccleston eras. I think both of them are equally as flawed, to be fair.
No, I disagree.
I do, actually. But there are some real highs and there are some real lows.
Yes,
that is definitely the case.
Should we find out what those highs and lows are?
No, I'll tell you what. Let's just for a change, let's do it in the style of
Too Good, Too Bad.
Too Good, Too Bad. When we contemplate the two best episodes of the Matt Smith era.
And the two worst episodes of the Matt Smith era.
Because some things are too good.
And some things are too bad.
Yeah. Bad, not worst. Okay, so...
what?
You said the two worst episodes of the Matt Smith era, rather than the two bad episodes of the Matt Smith era. Ruining our...
No, but you said the two best episodes of the Matt Smith era.
Did I? Oh, okay, well, I'm the fool then. Well, anyway, fools aside, we both think of something good, we both think of something bad. So, starting off, did you want to go for... What do you think is the highlight of the Matt Smith era?
There's one story I think is better than it, but I'm not going to say it, because I feel like... and I'll tell you why later, unless you go for it. I'm going to go for Vincent and the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good episode for the first 40 minutes. It's a, you know, with the ending with it, it's a powerful, wonderful, lovely, emotional, poignant installment that shows just the power of what Doctor Who can do. It just paints the life of Vincent in such a beautiful way, and it never gets old, it never gets less sad, you know, just the way it's done. And just, originally, my original thoughts were, it's got a wonderful ending and a mediocre episode before it, but everything before it is just such a lovely build-up and such a lovely thing in its own right.
Yeah.
I think it's also a glorious depiction of mental health. I think it covers all those topics really well in such a subtle, meaningful way.
Yeah, far better than they did in Series 12.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I mean, that probably would have been mine, actually, because, like you, I mean, I think the one that we probably aren't going to mention is Day of the Doctor, which probably actually is Matt Smith's finest hour, but because of the fact it's a multi-doctor story, it doesn't feel like right to choose.
No, and because it's a 50th anniversary story with lots of fan service in it, it doesn't feel right to include it, so we're not going to here.
So I'm going to go, on the basis you've gone for Vincent the Doctor, I think I'm going to go The Impossible Astronaut.
I'd agree with, yeah.
And the reason being is I think the moment when the Doctor gets shot really early on in it is like one of those wow moments. How are they going to get out of that? And whilst the actual eventual resolution wasn't perfect, it was all right, actually. It's one of the few good things about the season finale, actually.
Yeah.
But it is intriguing. And also, of course, it brought us The Silence, which are one of the most successful New Who monsters in terms of being really scary.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for The Impossible Astronaut.
It's very good. It's very original, shocking, great villains,
great action sequences. Just it maintains its quality all the way through. There's not really any cringy scenes or anything. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah.
The stakes are high. It's just everything you want from a series opener, really. I think it's the best series opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good one. Okay, so moving on to the worst.
Yeah. Oh.
Too bad.
There's a lot I could go for here, actually.
Yeah, there is
There's a lot of really bad episodes. The one on my mind right now is the one I'm going to go for, and it's Closing Time. I'm going to go for Closing Time.
I wouldn't be far behind.
Yeah,
that one,
I'm not sure whether it is the absolute worst. I think there's a few that draw with it to be absolute worst, but it might be. And it's just atrocious. It's as an episode in its own right, it's just stupid, it's laughable, it's ridiculous. It fails to do what The Lodger did, because The Lodger was really entertaining.
Yeah.
With Craig, and Craig was really good in that one. And the Cybermen are just so appalling, so out of place, so dreadful, and just so unthreatening that it just embarrasses me whenever I watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I probably would have gone for that one as well, you know.
Okay.
It's a bit of a toss-up for me for the one that's going to come next. Excuse me, I've just got a bit of a cough.
he's not got it. I don't think you've got it.
No, it's only stuck in my throat.
Good.
So, I think I'm going to have to go for The Curse of the Black Spot.
Okay, yeah.
Now, there's things I do like about this episode, but not very much. I think probably I think Amy as a pirate is quite cool, but that's about as far as it goes. Apart from that, it's a really, really poor story. Excuse me. The one that I was contemplating, which may or may not be slightly worse than that, I'm not too sure, is Victory of the Daleks, which is a
that's real, not as bad.
Atrocious.
That's not story. As bad.
Yeah.
It's not as bad.
Well, I think I'll go and go for The Curse of the Black.
I don't like Victory of the Daleks, but it's not as bad. It's enjoyable enough.
So again, what we're going to do now is we're going to quite quickly run through the series and give a hit or miss judgment on each one.
Okay.
So, 11th Hour.
Hit.
Beast Below.
I'm going to say hit because it's entertaining.
I like Beast Below, actually. I know it's not often rated that highly, but
it's decent, yeah.
Victory of the Daleks.
Miss.
Miss, yep. Time of Angels.
Hit, I really like that.
We'll count that as the double part of one there.
Yeah.
Vampires of Venice.
Miss, probably.
I think it's hit for me, actually. I like that one.
Okay.
Amy's Choice.
Hit.
Hit, yep. Hungry Earth.
Hit, I think.
I think it probably is, even though it's Chibnall. Vincent the Doctor, we know, is a hit. The Lodger.
Hit.
Yeah, I'd give that a hit. Pandorica Opens.
Hit.
I'm just going to give that
It's a mess. it's a big, huge mess.
Mm.
And it's very, very Moffat finale, literally.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it's a hit, just.
Okay.
I think it's entertaining enough to be a hit.
A Christmas Carol.
Hit, definitely.
A hit. That's the Impossible great. Astronaut.
Hit.
Yeah, Curse of the Black Spot.
Miss.
Miss. Doctor's Wife.
Hit, I think.
I think there's something I like about it. I don't like all of it, but the actual basic feel.
It's overrated, but it's good enough to be a hit.
The Rebel Flesh.
Hit, I think.
I like that one. A lot of people don't, do they?
No, I think it's quite good.
A Good Man Goes to War.
Hit, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's Kill Hitler.
Oh, miss.
I quite like Let's Kill Hitler.
Are you really hesitating Good Man Goes to War, but you're not hesitating Let's Kill
Night Terrors.
Miss.
It's a big stinker, actually. That had so much potential, but it turned out to be crap. The Girl Who Waited.
Hit, definitely.
Big hit, I think.
Great, yeah.
The God Complex.
Hit.
Just.
Really? I really like God Complex. Yeah. I really like it.
Closing Time. Big miss.
Oh, yeah.
The Wedding of River Song.
Miss, definitely.
Miss. Okay, Dr. Widow in the Wardrobe.
Miss.
As discussed last week.
Not last week, the week before that.
The week before, yeah, you're right. Asylum of the Daleks.
Hit, I think.
Yep, hit. Yeah. Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
Miss, yeah. Definitely.
Town Called Mercy.
Miss.
Gets a hit from me.
I think.
I think there's a lot going for that one.
I walked away from it when it aired. Like, it's the first time I'd ever sort of walked around the room because I was a bit bored during it. I'm going to see a miss with that one.
Okay, Power of Three.
It collapses totally towards the end, but I think it's entertaining enough to be a hit.
There's enough things in there that I like, even though it's written by Chibnall.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Chibnall's okay apart from Dinosaurs on the Spaceship.
Yeah. Did he write that one as well?
He did, yeah.
Did he? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a stinker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Angels Take Manhattan.
A hit.
Yeah, I think it's a hit. Hit. Snowman, I think, is a hit.
Hit, yeah.
Bells of St. John.
Hit, I think.
Yeah. Rings of Akatan.
Oh, miss.
Yeah, I hate that ending bit.
I like the ending. Yeah. I just hate the rest of the episode.
Cold War.
Hit, I think just a hit.
Hide.
I'm going to say a hit.
So I'm going to say a miss, just because I hate the ending so much.
If I'm going to say Hide is a hit, I've now decided I'm going to say Vampires of Venice is a hit.
Yeah.
Because they're both the same, they're both around the same for me.
Yeah. Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS.
Miss.
Yeah, I think it probably is a miss. The Crimson Horror.
A hit, definitely.
Do you know, the Crimson Horror would be up there if I was probably choosing a third or fourth Smith one. It would be around there.
It's really... I think it's underrated.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nightmare in Silver.
A miss. I hate that.
Name of the Doctor.
A hit.
Big hit. I really like that one a lot. Day of the Doctor, we talked about already. It's obviously a hit. And then the finale, when he regenerates, Time of the Doctor.
I rewatched this the other day actually, and it's a huge mess.
You want to like it more than I think you actually do.
Yeah,
because it's a really good example of them just trying to do far too much.
Yeah, this is what I think Revolution of the Daleks will be like.
Yeah,
good ideas, good stuff going on, but it just collapsing because of the amount of stuff that's going on in it.
I'm with you on that. And I also agree that the this year's New Year's special could be like that, but without the good ideas.
I think there could. I think there are some good things that could happen with it. I like the idea of the Doctor being in a jail cell, because I think that opens up some really interesting possibilities. And I like the idea of the human-made Daleks and the Daleks sort of rebelling. And stuff like that. I really like that idea. And I think the companions being on their own, Jack being there. I think there's some good stuff going on, some good potential going on there. But we'll see. I think it has the most, going back to Revolution of the Daleks, I think it has the most potential to be good political commentary. But I don't think it will be. I know there's going to be some political commentary going on here, given what we know about the story.
The interesting thing about it, just taking it back to what we were actually meant to be talking about, which was the Matt Smith era, the funny thing about that was we ran through the hit and miss, and we both very, very heavily in favour of hits. There's a lot more hits than misses. So maybe it's a better era than you perhaps give it credit for sometimes.
Me, or...?
Well, just generally.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You as in the race, the human race.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I think that brings us pretty much to the end of this week's show. What do we have on the penultimate Two Time Space?
Yeah, episode 400 next week, and we will be reviewing Revolution of the Daleks. I don't think we need anything else to go alongside that, really.
Probably not, no.
Because when the new episodes come out, we usually spend a bit more time on it, and it's usually more interesting for people to listen to because it's fresh.
Other than the fact that I have no intention of watching it.
Yeah, we must apologise first of all for our lateness, because we're a day later than we usually release. But next week we will be back 2 Saturdays for episode number 400, and
we're not going to tell each other what we think about the episode until we've watched it.
Well,
until we've reviewed it, sorry.
It's crap.
Yes. So, please tune in to episode number 400, and that'll be out on January the 2nd.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. How can people get hold of us?
You can get in touch with us at Instagram at The Who Connor. Podomatic at Dr. Time and Space. Tune in at Dr. Time and Space. The Dr. Podcast Alliance at Dr. Time and Space. And iTunes at Dr. Time and Space. That's where you can listen. And we'll be back next time. I hope you have a wonderful week. Happy New Year. I hope you do enjoy Doctor Who. Even if we don't enjoy it, I hope you do. But I also hope that if I don't enjoy it, all of you don't either, because I hate all the arguments. I hope we can actually agree on something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, joking aside, I hope that, like season 12, I watch it and have fun watching it and actually take back. I hope I'm in a position where I have to eat my words next week. I'd be really happy. I would happily eat my words next week.
I hope we're in a position next week where we can say, well, we can both say that was good.
Yeah.
Or we can both say that was the best episode of the Chibnall era.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
It would, but I think there's probably a greater chance of my prediction of the Doctor regenerating than
that. Yeah, because knowing us, right, I know we do agree on a lot of things, but also knowing our Series 12 reviews where we disagreed quite a bit, we are probably going to not have the same opinion on it. I reckon one of us will like it, and I reckon that person will be you. I reckon you will like it because you've got such low expectations for it.
Yeah, maybe.
I reckon you'll like it.
Maybe. I will be blatantly honest as well.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I will be completely honest about it. And as people know, if I have found an episode good, having sort of slated it in the weeks preceding it, I will still always say when I think things are, when they're good.
And when they're rubbish, you know, we will not lie to you when we give our review next week. We will tell you what we think of it. And we won't, I'll try to have a word with him and try to get him to be a bit more PC.
I'm only joking.
But you called me un-PC, so...
Yeah, that was only really to get your aim back on you.
So it's just an endless loop.
Yeah, it's fun.
Anyway, thank you for tuning in today. We hope you've enjoyed it. Is my bag done up? I've been Lewis Moon.
And I've been The Cool.
We will see you next time. Same time.
Same space.
Goodbye. They call me the Doctor. I am a doctor.